This recording is from the ACA World Convention that was held virtually in May of 2021. The ACA World Service Organization is grateful to all who contributed to making this convention happen, as well as to all who participated. ACA is an anonymous program. Please respect the anonymity of those that participated in the event. To learn more about the ACA Fellowship, please visit us online at adultchildren.org, where you can find information for newcomers, as well as free literature for download. Information about doing service in the ACA Fellowship can be found at acawso.org and acawsoec.org. To purchase literature or to make a Seventh Tradition contribution, please go to shop.adultchildren.org. We hope you enjoy the following recording from the 6th Annual World Convention, Global Recovery, in May 2021.
Welcome, everybody, to our first workshop. And this is a workshop presented by Bonnie M. and her gang, which is the developers of this amazing new book we have coming out. It'll be available toward the end of July. It's a loving parent guidebook. It's been 2.5 years of solid work by a whole lot of people, spearheaded by the young woman who's going to present. And I give you Bonnie M.
Okay. Thank you, David. Hi, I'm Bonnie, an adult child, and I'm so glad to be here with you all. It's really very amazing to have reached this point. At some point, I thought this stage would never come. It felt like that sometimes. But here we are. The book is going to be coming out in July, which is super exciting. And the whole team is really very thrilled about you receiving it in the fellowship and being able to use it and work with it. And we really hope it's going to support the solution to become your own loving parent. And I want to first thank everybody who has been involved in bringing this AWC together. Also thank everyone at WSO who helped make this book possible and help set up the subcommittee. Thank you, Charlie, the former literature chair. Thank you, David, the current literature chair, and so many people who have helped out on this project. And thank you especially to the Loving Parent Guidebook team. We have had at points, not all at the same time, but over 50 people have helped out in different ways, whether that's providing feedback, revising sections of the book, writing, working on the beautiful artwork and layout. It's really been a huge effort. And I also want to introduce Taylor. You might not see her right on the screen yet, but she'll be sharing a little bit about the art. She is our creative director. We had a art team of me plus 4 people working on this, meeting weekly to come up with artwork that was accessible. So she'll be doing a little bit later. And then also Esau, who was one of the people on the initial part of the team. We met for close to 2 years working on the outline and then the drafts of each chapter, finally reaching a first draft at the end of 2019. And then in 2020, it shifted over into revision mode with lots of reorganizing and changing. And after I offered the reparenting check-in workshops, we had an influx of volunteers who had editing skills, and it was just a wonderful experience. Let me get the slideshow. So just a very quick idea of how the journey for the Loving Parent Guidebook happened. At the first World Convention, I gave a workshop on the power of mindfulness in recovery, and I shared the reparenting check-in there, and I could see that there was this immediate appreciation of a practical tool like that. And then later that year, we had the ballot proposal business meeting, and it just came to me like, wow, wouldn't it be great to have a book of practical tools dedicated to supporting what's in Chapter 8? And it passed as a ballot proposal in 2017, then worked with Charlie and Tamara to get set up as a subcommittee and get an outline going. And then there was monthly meetings where we worked on this project, brainstorming, pulling in everyone's experience so that we could come up with something that really reflected how people in the fellowship do reparenting based on our own personal experience and then getting input from people. And then drafts and revisions and lots of work. And I'm so grateful because we're all volunteers. You know, this project could have taken a lot longer, I think. And at some points, even if it seems long, 3.5 years, it's actually not that long when you consider that we're all volunteers. We're doing something completely new, which is writing collaboratively, having all kinds of revisions coming from different people, lots of moving parts. And I have been in the lucky position to be able to focus on this full time. And I feel like that's my higher power working through me. And I'm really hoping it can serve people. And it's been a wonderful experience. Okay, so we're now at the stage where the Loving Parent Guidebook is in fellowship review mode, which means it's gone through quite a bit of evaluation to get here. It passed with a full group conscience, 15 people who had read the book and come together to talk about if it met criteria that we have, standard criteria, and it passed fully. They said, go ahead, we want to see this get out there. We want to see people start using it. So this is where the Loving Parent Guidebook is now. We're in the fellowship review mode, waiting for it to come out. And it's at the printer right now. And then it's going to be 1 to 3 years for people to use it. So purchase it, use it, and then give us feedback on what you think is working, not working, just to make it even more accessible and useful for the fellowship. Then we would be reincorporating everyone's feedback the best we can. And once it feels like it's ready, then move it to the board for approval to go on to an ABC for conference approval. So there's more steps ahead. The book is not perfect. We've done our very best. We hope it serves as much as possible, and we're confident that we'll get even better with more input. Just a couple testimonials to share feedback that we've gotten so far. It's been overwhelmingly positive. This one, you know, somebody is saying that it's going to fill this huge need, and it gives that how-to, which was the goal of the project from the beginning. And then also that we have put so much attention on making this sensitive, gentle, loving, respectful. And it's so wonderful to see that that comes through. Here's from the chair of the Literature Strategic Planning Committee and also the co-chair of the Literature Evaluation Subcommittee, who looks at all of this literature. And, you know, he says all of this ACA recovery literature is really important, but that this might be become the most important part of our literature. And I think that's because it's really speaking to the solution. It all speaks to the solution, but that first line, becoming our own loving parent, it's really giving us tools for that. So it's at the printer, as I said. We had hoped that it would be coming out earlier, but it's a bit of a long process, as we have learned for many things. And we'll be offering it in a spiral-bound format at adultchildren.org and also Amazon, and then as a Kindle ebook. In terms of the delivery date, the European Committee and global committees are working on international launch dates. We believe that the UK is already going to be ordering books and should have that ready probably around the same time, but committees will be clarifying all of that. And this is the cover. And the cover was inspired by the beautiful flowers that are in the guidebook. And this one, you know, it really seemed to fit with the solution to become your own loving parent. Here's the flower doing mirror work, and they see that inner child. Okay, so overview of the guidebook. Basically, as I've said, it's really about offering people practical tools. It is directed to the adult, our loving parent inside of us. So it's sometimes we're talking about things like boundaries and distorted thinking, and it's addressed to our loving parent. And it is inner child friendly in the sense that we've kept the language gentle. We have used illustrations. We've tried to keep it as simple as we can, but not simplistic. And there's a structure in how it's laid out. The guidebook follows the recommendation in the Red Book, which is that we want to have that loving parent present before we jump into being in contact with the inner child. There are definitely feedback that we've gotten from people that when that's not the case, it can cause some backlash within the inner family. So that's the approach that we've taken. Develop and strengthen the ability to access that loving part of ourselves. So that part of ourselves is parenting. And then connect with the inner teenager and the critical parent, because they can play a protective role. And they might, if they don't trust the loving parent, they might not allow access to the inner child. And then eventually connecting with that tender, wounded part of ourselves to support and create the conditions for them to heal. So the parts are laid out in that section in the book. I mean, in that way in the book. So just another example, I'm not going to go through all of this in detail, but just to say that those first 9 chapters, we're calling that part 1. That's really about identifying the inner family members, awakening the part of ourselves who can tend to them with love, and then connecting with them through the reparenting check-in. There's also a way of connecting with them in a kind of lighter approach in those chapters, but we are holding off until chapters 10 through 16 to go deeper with them, just to build that foundation. And then in chapters 10 and 16, we're learning skills that will help us be with those parts of ourselves. For example, feelings. We really go in depth into how do we feel? What are feeling words versus words that can put us into thinking? What are needs and how do we talk about needs? How do we support the needs of our inner family members? And then in chapters 17 through 21, we're going deeper. We're doing grief work. We're learning how to support the inner teenager more deeply and really build that safe inner space. And then in the last chapter, that's an example of what it would look like to walk through a typical day with the loving parent in the driver's seat. We also have some great things in that last chapter, toolkits, with some cute illustrations for you. So all of these things are inside the book. We have shares that are very appropriate to whatever section they're placed in. We have dialogue, examples of things one could say as the loving parent to help you develop your own voice as a loving parent. Exercises, activities, 8 new guided practices to really support people. Images that you can color in. And then we're going to offer additional resources. They need to be approved, so it goes through a process, but those will be on a separate page that's identified in the guidebook. So I'm going to turn it over now to Taylor, who will take this part.
Hey, everyone. Thanks, Bonnie. I'm Taylor Adult Child. Thanks everyone for being here today to hear a little bit about the guidebook. As creative director of the project, it was really inspiring to work with an amazing team of artists to create the imagery and the icons of the guidebook. It's a really important piece of it. We began the design process with some basic goals in mind, but overall the design and art of the guidebook needed to be approachable, comfortable, and gentle. And those were our focus points as we were developing the imagery. So there were a lot of factors to keep in mind about our readership and how to connect with our inner families and so many other people's inner families on a deeper level, and to be sensitive to the dynamics that would show up there. We varied the characters in several different ways. So sometimes you'll see familiar humanoid figures, but you'll also see beautiful flowers and other inanimate objects to help assist the inner child along in different ways, give them a lot of opportunity to sort of explore and connect with the images. Even some of the guidebook's smaller elements like lines, charts, diagrams, and icons, they have a sketchiness or a charcoal feature to them, which you'll see on this slideshow, some of the lines. And again, this is to be able to talk closely with the inner child to add some playfulness and to encourage that playfulness. Even the decision to make some of the images colored in, as Bonnie mentioned, they're just line work images. So we are hoping that people will take advantage of that and use that for some inner child work. it opens up an opportunity for each person to add another layer of connection with their inner child and their inner family. As adults, we can generally understand written content, but the creative features of the book were crafted to speak to readers at an emotional, nonverbal level. Another feature to touch on are the breakout boxes. There's a few lingering on this slide. So we added small reminders or affirmations throughout the chapters in a visual way to give some dynamic aspect to the page and break up the content. This is challenging work and it's really powerful. So we really wanted to not let that speak, but give readers an opportunity to give themselves a little bit of a break or those potent reminders or affirmations. So overall, pairing the written content with the imagery truly brings some cohesiveness and balance to the guidebook, which was really important for the team throughout the process. And hopefully that resonates on this slide. These are some examples that you'll see throughout the book. So yeah, that's it for this slide. Hopefully we can talk a little bit about some specific things. So okay, this next chart, this is a diagram that we developed. And so this is a comfort, challenge, overwhelm zone. And we talk about these zones within the book and give readers options to help when you move out of the challenge zone. So the book helps you learn how to regulate your nervous system and use supportive resources and tools to help you in those times. So you can see a little bit of trepidation in that character, but you could see that he has a willingness to take that step. He's moving forward. So this is an example of how some of the diagrams and images provide the information, but just again, give a little bit of that levity to the readers to help connect and make it palatable. And this is an example of some of our gentleness breaks. We have these scattered throughout the book. We have tried to support gentleness since this work can definitely bring up intense feelings. So this is one of the key ways that we introduced visual aspects to help, again, break up some of the text and give yourself the opportunity or the reminder to practice being a loving parent to yourself. And it's okay to take a gentleness break whenever you need to. And I think that's it for some of the images. So thank you for letting me speak.
Yeah, thank you, Taylor. It's great to walk through the book like that. And I also wanted to tell people that we're gonna have a lot of time for questions and answers at the end. So if you'd be willing to keep track of questions that you have as we go through these different stages, and then if they're not addressed by the time we reach the Q&A period, please feel free to ask us those at the time. We're happy to field whatever questions you have. Okay, so I wanted to just give a general sense of, again, this loving parent approach that we tried to take not only in developing the book, in presenting the book. And so just here, kind of give you a sense of the philosophy where we're coming from. So this book will introduce you to these inner family members, some of whom you already know from the Big Red Book, but we have this loving parent who is this, some people see it as an aspect of our true self. So almost like this very connected part of ourselves or not a part of ourselves, but really who we are. And some other people will see it as a part of ourselves that we can nurture and develop to support the wounded inner family members. And the book tries to leave it open to the reader to decide what is the way that works for them. And we present those two ways of looking at it. But the loving parent, when the loving parent, we either have access to it or is present, we have a sense of feeling loving and compassionate, kind, curious, gentle. And that's how we feel toward these parts of ourselves. So if say my inner child is feeling hurt and sad, if I'm not feeling compassionate toward that part of myself, it's likely that maybe my critical parent is stepping in or the inner teenager is stepping in who might feel a little bit frustrated with this wounded inner child. So that's just a signal for me to ask myself, oh, okay, so is my loving parent here? Is my loving parent the one doing the parenting, or is something else stepping in? And we're looking at these inner family members as having both sides. They, once they're healthy and healed, they have qualities that can support us. And when they're in their wounded or dysfunctional place, then we can recognize them in this way. So for instance, the critical parent, which we can detect through thoughts, emotions, feelings, voices that we might hear, usually critical, controlling, trying to manage us and keep us in that false self, because it thinks that's how we're going to stay safe. Then there's the inner teenager, that rebellious, impulsive, defensive part of ourselves. You know, when someone says something like a criticism to us, it might be that part of us who wants to lash back out, or say something sarcastic or snarky. They can feel resentment and anger. And then this part of us also can reach for substances, kind of as a coping strategy. And then there's the inner child who, when they're in this dysfunctional place, the wounded place, well, they can often be hidden away. We might not even be able to detect them other than feelings. They have a lot of pain that they've been carrying from trauma, neglect, from growing up in a dysfunctional home. And they carry these beliefs that are very limiting and can lead us to behave in ways that don't really serve us as adults. And then on the healthy side, the critical parent, in my situation, my critical parent will still try to manage and control me at times, but I have a much better relationship with this part of myself, and it can understand and cooperate with me much better. So it can sometimes even be supportive, like reminding me about certain things. That's going to be different for each of us. And then the inner teenager, when they feel trust with the loving parent and they've had a chance to heal some of the pain, they can help us be more authentic and courageous in our lives and, you know, have a voice. So they have a lot of really positive qualities to share with us. Same for the inner child. When our inner child is feeling healthy and our loving parent is there, the spontaneity and joy and play, all of those things become more accessible to us. Those vulnerable feelings, we have the courage to share them and be real with people, and very loving and creative. So we have tried in the guidebook to have a range of images, like Taylor was saying, from different backgrounds. And because we don't have so many images that we can show each background in all of the instances, we've done our best to kind of spread it out. So in this situation, we're looking at if the critical parent is driving the bus, well, the inner teenager and inner child might not be feeling so good. And we show the loving parent in the back seat simply because the loving parent is there. It's just we might not have access to them. They're not driving the bus at this point. When a part of us takes over, like the critical parent, we're going to be noticing that we might be more judgmental, might be hard on ourselves. We might be perfectionistic, trying to do things perfectly and right. We'll be judging the inner teenager, maybe the part of us who wants to kick back and relax or go get some food or substances. There'll be this controlling feeling And the inner child, when the critical parent is in the driver's bus, it's almost as if there's no one there to protect them from the criticism and shaming. And so that just contributes to the woundedness. And then our inner teenager, when the inner teenager's driving the bus, well, all kinds of things can happen. We might lash out, we might do something that we later regret the consequences of. We might try to numb ourselves, numb the pain of the inner child as well. And what's needed really is a loving parent to be driving the bus. But until these parts of us can relax, they might still try to take control. That's definitely been my experience. And then when the inner child is driving the bus, fear can dominate, the sense of shame can dominate, you know, really this part of ourselves trying to do a job they're not suited to. Then you have the critical parent who feels like everything's getting out of control and makes even more controlling behavior happen. So the goal in the way we see it in the guidebook is that the loving parent is driving the bus and can care for the inner child and the inner teenager, can have a boundary with that critical parent. We're powerless over having a critical parent, but when it arises, we can as loving parents, let them know, like, thanks, I've got this. It's not the same as it was in the past. I know you're worried and anxious, and I'm here. I'm going to take care of things. And as best you can, please, you know, it's okay to take a break. Okay, so that feels like that was a lot of information. I hope that it wasn't too much for you. But now it's time to do just a little bit of practice with this. So we just shared about these different inner family members. And I want to see is Esau here by any chance? He's going to be leading this part for us.
No sign of Esau so far.
Okay. Just give it a second. Let me see if there's any message for me. No, he is on the West Coast, so it could be a time issue. I'm gonna just walk us through this. It would be great if you have some paper, something to draw with. If you don't, you can also do this in your imagination, but might be easier if you can draw, sketch. So the invitation is to take a moment and reflect on your inner family. You know, who are the players inside your inner landscape and world? And we'll take about five to 7 minutes for this part for you to do some sketching. Stick figures are completely okay. And you know, who are you recognizing? You might not have a relationship with them yet. You might have images of them that you can sketch out. Maybe they're wearing certain clothes or certain expressions. So go ahead and take about 5 minutes, sketch out in whatever way makes sense to you or in your imagination. And then we'll open the chat at a certain point and also have a few people come on to share their portrait if they'd like, or just talk about that experience. And just want to, if you've joined and you're not sure what's happening, we're doing a inner family portrait, sketching out the members of our inner family. For example, the critical parent, our loving parent, inner child, inner teenager. Any parts of you that you're aware of. We'll just take a couple more minutes and then open it up. And if you didn't really have access to any inner family members, that's totally okay. That's what the book will be talking about and helping you identify for yourself. And you can just draw whatever you're aware of and totally fine if that's not anything. Okay, well, I'm gonna stop the share just for temporarily to be able to see a few more people. But let's go ahead and open up the chat. So please feel free in the chat to share anything that you experienced or noticed, anything that came up for you doing this interfamily portrait. All feelings are welcome. And if you would, let's go ahead and lower all hands, just so we know hands aren't left over from something previous. Lower all hands, and then if you would like to come on and share about your experience doing this practice, please raise your hand and we'll hear from a few people. And I guess I can allow somebody to talk, so I'm gonna call on Marilyn. Would you like to come on and share?
Hi, thank you. This is an interesting exercise. I guess for me, the realization that the critical parent and the inner parent are the most vocal, not so much the inner teenager, but recently, especially the critical parent and the inner child. So that's what I noticed more at the forefront. But the loving parent was trying to get through. So it's almost like there was two steering wheels, or maybe the critical parent was at the steering wheel, but the inner child was trying to grab it, but the loving parent was trying to get in. So that's what I noticed.
Great. Thank you, Marilyn. So nice to notice the interaction of your inner family members too. That's wonderful. Yeah. Great. So let's hear from, let's see, Jack M, would you like to come on and share?
Yeah, my name is Jack and I'm an ACA. I don't see a way to show my camera. I'm an abstract artist and I couldn't do a stick drawing or anything, but I am working on a scroll on my wall here, and I can describe what it shows. There's a lot of different colors involved, and at the top of the scroll, there's a lot of sharp triangular shapes that are pointy and sharp-edged, and yet they're colorful. There's a lot of colors there. And then I interspersed white also in triangular shapes, but there's a couple of circles which indicate a potential softness. This is what goes on in my life. There's a lot of judgment, a lot of critique of myself and others, and yet there's some softness to going down. The colors get a bit cacophonous. They cross and change, and different things come up, and it's confusing and disorienting. And yet below that, I started putting in some cloud shapes with the white and then interspersed with there's still some lines and points and mixed colors and different feelings. So my life isn't cacophony. There's some calm. There's some peace. And I've studied a lot. And I've been in ACA for a long time and four other recovery programs. So I have some background about how to look at myself and not judge and how to forgive and all that. And then at the bottom of the scroll, I have a big circle, almost like a mandala, but it's not that organized. It's completely abstract. And there's white interspersed in it. So all the colors and all the white and all the different feelings smooth out and mix and come together. And in this place, I feel whole and I'm at peace. Wow. Thank you.
Thank you, Jack. I'm wishing that we could see that, but you described it so beautifully. And I love, to me, what you described really points to the experience that we can have with reparenting, these soft and hard places and things kind of coming all together. So thank you for sharing that.
You're welcome.
You might need to be a panelist. We can see you now, Diane.
So I don't know if this is too complicated. I have a document camera that I could put this under the camera and show you, unless you want me just to hold it up to the screen.
Why don't we try just holding it up just to see?
Okay. So what happened, I wasn't clear and I did the I think you wanted the inner family, but the outer family came first.
Okay.
I'm working through a lot of incest trauma.
Maybe try to hold it up like
a... Yeah, it's the, I wish I could do the document camera. You just have to, okay. Sorry, I got spoiled with school. So I can't see it now. Okay. So Ronnie's the brother that violated me. I think, yeah, so here's Ronnie. Then me, then my little brother Danny, but Danny got big. Somehow Danny doesn't have arms now. Mm. So then I went into language. And I've been writing the timeline of all the sexual abuse. Mm. And then, these words are about me and different people that that abused me, same sexual patterns. Then there's an indeterminate preteen teenager. There's a little girl that's 5 that likes macadamia nuts, and she likes to color with crayons and then smear. Those are oil crayons, and then smear them, you know, like finger painting. Mm-hmm. Then, there's somebody's really pissed off about having being grabbed.
Sorry. 1 second, Diane. Just also maybe not so much detail, just kind of.
Oh, sorry.
Why don't you tell us a little bit, because it's hard to see that image. Would you be willing to tell us just what was the feelings that came up for you as you did the practice, as you did that portrait?
Go ahead. Sorry.
No. I'm also seeing in the comments some people being triggered, and it's totally okay to be triggered. That's just what's going to happen as we go throughout our days. And that's why reparenting is so helpful, because when we have a trigger, we can tend to that trigger. So if it's the inner child, if it's the inner teenager, we can let them know like, wow, this is okay. I'm here. It's okay. It's safe. And I've got you. So that's just to kind of support people who are feeling triggered right now. It's to ground in yourself and let those parts of you know that they're okay, that whatever triggering thing is not happening to them right now, might be evoking things. So yeah, Diane, why don't you go ahead and just share a little bit about the process of doing the inner family portrait.
Okay, thanks. I'm seeing the chats now, so, you know, apologies, didn't mean to trigger. So the siblings came up, then the language about different things that had happened, different ages, same patterns. Then writing like who the people are, the 5-year-old, mm-hmm. this indeterminate preteen teenager girl. Then there was a fish, a dog, a robot, then some water, because the things happen in the water.
Yeah.
Then some of the weapons, sure. And then the critical parent came out. This is the stick figure who's very fat and angry. Then the loving parent. So if you, I don't know, you can see the difference in the size. So the critical parent is still very big. The loving parent is small, but the loving parent is coming now.
Mm.
And the loving parent has long hair, but that just means, I think, more of a nurturing energy. I don't think that means female.
Mm-hmm.
I think it just means nurturing energy.
Uh-huh.
This one is still pissed off. And from how this is spaced, I feel like my inner kids are in between here. And they're in language.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you, Diane. I think I'm seeing some messages that other people aren't able to see the video, unfortunately, of what people are sharing sometimes. And I'm sorry about that. I wasn't aware of that. But hopefully the way that Diane described things, it sounds like her description connected to some people, especially around the critical parent and loving parent. And I think what's beautiful about this exercise is that there's so much that gets revealed just in the fact of the size of the different inner family members, how we might draw them. It's not like we're planning on doing that, but they just show up. There's also prompts in the guidebook that talk about doing this with your non-dominant hand. And I didn't prompt that because then it would take describing that kind of work, but it's totally possible to do it with that way. And I think let's move now into another section, which is a little bit more practical about when do we start the guidebook, or when do we think some suggestions are for starting the guidebook. It's completely up to every person themselves, but what are some suggestions or some thoughts that might support you in deciding for yourself? And then some ways to use the guidebook with other people. And then I'll do a short guided practice that helps us embody the loving parent. I saw a question earlier about how are we suggesting, what exercises are there to awaken that loving parent? And there's a whole chapter on doing that. A lot of it is what I've shared already that would support getting that loving parent into the driver's seat. So exercises to support that, like writing a letter, guided practice, some other exercises. The reparenting check-in is a wonderful way to do that. And let me just get back onto the sharing the screen. Okay. Thank you for participating. And let's go ahead and close the chat back. Hopefully people had a chance to share some things in there. Definitely see lots of really great messages and comments about people experiencing the exercise. And again, just to validate, maybe you didn't experience anything, totally okay. We all connect in different ways. So when to start the Loving Parent Guidebook? This was a really tricky thing for our subcommittee because we didn't feel like it was our position to tell people when to do this. It really is very personal and it depends on many factors. But some suggestions we came up with, just to give a little bit of guidance. If you're at the beginning of your ACA journey, you could start with the Loving Parent Guidebook. There's nothing in there really that you would have to know a lot of stuff from other parts of the program. So you could start with the whole Loving Parent Guidebook, or if you would like, you could start with part one, which will give you a nice foundation to go on and then do the 12 steps in the yellow book. Then you could return to parts two and three, which go deeper after that time. That also, one thing to think about that could support you is, you know, maybe you have a really strong relationship with a higher power. And so doing part one and then the steps might be a really good fit. If your relationship to a higher power isn't as strong, but you relate to this part of yourself inside that's loving, or you really want to connect with that, maybe the starting with the guidebook is the way to go. At any other point, if you've been in the program, maybe you're already very experienced with reparenting, it's really whenever you would like, possibly doing it before the laundry list workbook, because the laundry list workbook is pretty intense, and it's nice to be able to do our ACA work from a loving place. And I have found I did a 2.5 year group with working through the laundry list workbook with 9 other people. And it was great, but it can be somewhat of a little bit more intellectual. So the reparenting will help ground and make sure that as you go through the laundry list workbook, you're connecting to your inner family members as well. And then, okay, how to use the Loving Parent Guidebook? Hold on 1 second, because I think I have a couple extra slides. I think I didn't remove some. Okay, so really the guidebook is not meant to be read in isolation and you going through all the exercises by yourself, because it's really something that we're gonna need support with reparenting. Parts of us get triggered. We're gonna not always be able to access our loving parent. So having other people with whom you have a relationship and can work through this stuff together really is supportive. So one-on-one with a fellow traveler or sponsor. You could do this in a group, like a small group. We're calling them LPG groups, and do it in phases, because like that example I gave from the laundry list workbook, 2.5 years was a really long commitment. We didn't know how long it would take at the beginning, but it might have been nice to have some sense of how long it would take. If you were going to do the Loving Parent Guidebook in a small group and you allowed everyone to share on each answer and each exercise, there are quite a few in there, it could take 2 to 3 years, even if you use a timer for different, for those exercises. But one suggestion would be form a group and focus on part one. That's 9 chapters. It's 100 pages. It gives you an introduction to all the different inner family members, gives you some tools to get that loving parent in the driver's seat. There's a whole chapter on that. And then there, it ends with the reparenting check-in, which is just a very practical tool that has helped a lot of people find their loving parent. So that could be one way. And I'm working on a 12-week sample curriculum for part one that people can modify as they wish. And then the nice thing if you do it in a phase is that part one, at that point, folks who feel like they've gotten what they needed to at that point can step out. And people who want to continue on with parts 2 and even 3 can stay together. It just provides a nice flexibility. The other suggestion on using the Loving Parent Guidebook is to really practice the concepts in the check-in meetings that I put in the handout. It's a great way to start to get familiar with the inner family members and how to tend to them and to hear other loving parents do the same. I would also say practicing these concepts in any ACA meeting is beneficial. You know, when we get triggered, noticing, oh, which part of me is triggered? What do they need? How can I take care of them as a loving parent? And then also it can be used as a literature meeting, just as we do with the Red Book. This can give people the option of stepping in, stepping out. It can be a slower pace. They can listen, just like in the Red Book. We can stop after a certain amount of reading. People can share their own experience. Those who don't have much experience can just listen or share what's coming up for them. Literature meetings could also focus on part one, for example. Or we have a mindfulness chapter in the very beginning to really set the stage, because we need that awareness to be able to take care of our inner family members. And so being able to be grounded more in practices that help us notice what's happening are helpful. So it could be maybe a meeting wants to start that focuses on mindfulness and feelings, paying attention to feelings and needs and awareness. It could be maybe a group wants to look at a later chapter that focuses on grief work. There's 22 chapters to choose from. So there's a lot of options. And we're going to have a landing page eventually, once the book comes out, the link is in the book, where you can go and find those new resources that I mentioned earlier. So as we understand more things about how people are using it and what tools could support the book, we'll add them there. For example, Kate and I are working right now on a LPG group document to support groups in practical tips in running these groups and how do they, some suggestions for best practices. So we're going to hit the Q&A in just a moment, but I just invite you, this is a guided practice that I have shortened a little bit from the guidebook. And it comes in chapter 3, which is about healthy families, what happens in healthy families, so we can start to learn to emulate that. So just invite you, with all of the guided practices, we really encourage you to take care of yourself in the guidebook. So if you notice you start to feel intensity that's beyond what feels comfortable, you start to get ungrounded, to open your eyes, look around, maybe ground your attention in your feet or your body somewhere against a surface. It could be tuning into sounds that are naturally happening, just to bring you back here to the present moment and maybe taking deep breaths. So that's the invitation, to do that whenever you need to. Also to validate that guided practices don't work for everybody. It's totally okay if you're not connecting to this, just see if there's anything that comes up that's of value. And as we start, just invite you to open your eye with your eyes with a soft gaze or close your eyes. And just take a moment to settle in and feel your breath at a place that's comfortable to feel it. Or listen to sounds. Let any thoughts that are here just fade away or just be. If your mind wanders during the practice, it's okay. You can just bring it back gently to your breath or sounds, to what I'm saying. So in this practice, we'll be offering loving phrases to our inner family members to just start to begin to build a foundation, a healthy foundation. It's okay if you don't feel anything at first, or if the critical parent gets active or other parts of you don't like this. This takes practice. So let's invite the feeling of loving kindness, just that sense of goodwill, into our hearts. And we can do that by bringing to mind someone who's living or a being who's living, who loves you, who cares about you. Their love is obvious in the way that they greet you or listen to you or wag their tail, cuddle up to you. Just let yourself take in that feeling for a moment. You don't need to know them personally. It could be an animal you see in your neighborhood, or the feeling of being supported by a higher power of your understanding. Maybe how you feel when you're in nature. So just tune into your body and notice how you're feeling. What sensations are there? And just invite you to send that loving kindness, that feeling to to either the inner child or the inner teenager. We'll just focus on one of them in this practice since it's short. And if that's an unfamiliar concept to you, just sending kindness to yourself. So tune into this part of you in whatever way you can. That might be through feeling, or you get an image of them. It's okay if it's a little bit vague. And we're going to repeat some phrases to this inner family member. So I'll say them and then just pause and let yourself feel it as you send this message to them. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you be at ease in your heart. There's no right or wrong way to do this. There's nothing specific you're supposed to feel. It's just a practice. So just gently repeating those to yourself. May you be happy. May you be safe. May you be healthy. May you be at ease in your heart. Just noticing any response. It's okay if there's no response. Some people like to put a hand somewhere on their body, maybe their heart or arm. So you can try these phrases and experiment as you explore the practice. But now, as we close, just invite you to take a moment and appreciate yourself for making time to come to this session, to reparent yourself, to try out the practice in whatever way you could. This is the ACA solution to become your own loving parent. So when you're ready, just invite you to open your eyes or lift your gaze and reconnect to your surroundings, settling back into the present moment. You know, and our brains can change these patterns that we have, these old tapes that we have. We can help our brains change by doing practices like this, sending kindness to ourselves. And we can repeat this. Some people do this daily. It's something you can do just going throughout your day. Just move. May be safe. If we notice the inner child is agitated, I'm here. I'm here. You're safe. May you trust you're safe. And of course, safety is a tricky thing, so I don't want to minimize that. But just letting them know that just right in this second, you've got them. Okay, so just like to hear from a few people about this practice. What came up for you? Did you have any reactions, whether it was easy or not? And I would especially like to hear from people who have not done this practice of loving kindness before. So if this was new to you, please raise your hand if you'd like to share. Okay. So I'm going to call on Svetlana.
I found out about ACA a few weeks ago, and I'm very grateful. I experienced light and sunshine and warmth, and I agreed with safety. I trust my higher power for safety. This is my inner child. My teenager is still at odds with my higher power. And she was just silent, but the inner child was jumping and yeah. My adult, loving adult is wonderful, but very, very, very quiet and just sits at the back, not having enough courage to take over. And my critical parent now realizes that it's time to leave, I mean to give way. So this is where I am at the moment. Thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you for sharing that. Yeah. It's interesting because I would be curious about the loving parent not having the courage. That could be another part of you. Because the loving parent, it's really about being able to access the loving parent who does have the compassion and courage. It's just sometimes other parts of ourselves get in the way. Not that doesn't sound the way I want it to sound. Other parts of us can take over. So just to be curious about that. I totally empathize and support your experience just as something to think about. Okay, so I'd just like to ask, I'm gonna lower all hands because I would like to hear from people who would like to share about the practice we just did, who have not done loving kindness practice before. So just to get a sense, if you'd like to share and that's your situation, please raise your hand. And also if you've already shared during this session, we're trying to call on people who haven't had a chance yet. So Barbara F., if you have not shared before, would you like to share?
Hi, can you hear me?
Yes.
Hi, thanks, Bonnie. My name is Barbara. I'm in California trying to wake up. So I had a little bit of a reaction to the may I be safe, may I be happy. Just because when I was a child, I was told, go to your room until you can put a smile on your face. Mm-hmm. So happy was the only thing that was allowed, forced perhaps even. So I exchanged that, may I be calm or peaceful was more helpful for me in the moment. Instead of may I be happy, I said, may I have all my feelings. Mm-hmm. And that might not be okay, but I've been in the program for 25 years in ACA now, and I've learned more comfortability with the full range of emotions. And always to be at ease is working for me. Mm-hmm. So, and I like the idea about sending loving kindness to any part at any time. Mm-hmm. So thank you for the exercise.
Yeah, thank you. And thank you for sharing. And I want to just emphasize too that it's really great that you have access to that loving parent who can modify the phrases that in a way that works for your needs. That's beautiful. And that's what we're encouraging people to do in the guidebook. And also, it's a really good point that happy here doesn't mean happy, cheerful, joyful. It's really that kind of sense of contentment and being okay. And I think that's a good point to let people know that there are other ways of describing happiness that might connect better for you. And that's a very loving parent thing to do. So thank you, Barbara. All right, let's hear from one more person. Okay, Daniel, with the C for the last name, if you would like to share about exercise.
Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Thank you. This is exciting. Yeah, I had a great experience with that last meditation thing. Because previously in the other one, my drawing of the family, I had a wall up between the loving parent and the critical parent was in jail and really upset. And then the little kid was had kind of a tentative smile, and the teenager was a little open, but a little bit reserved, and the loving parent was receptive and reaching out to them, but also reaching up to a higher power. Mm. And then saying those things, may you be safe, happy, healthy, and at ease. I became a little more humane with the critical parent in jail and mm-hmm. drew a little table there with some cookies and milk for it, but I'm still not allowing it into my space.
Mm, that's really lovely. Thank you, Daniel. I love how revealing the inner family portrait is and how beautiful that you could then have that experience in the guided practice. Thank you so much for sharing. Okay, everyone. That I think is pretty much what we wanted to share, and we have time for questions and answers now. and happy to field any of your questions. I saw there are quite a few in the Q&A. And at some point, I'd love to be able to have responses to those up on that additional support page so people can go there and reference the Q&A, frequently asked questions. But for now, let's see who has questions that have not yet been answered and who has not yet had a chance to come on. You can raise your hand. And also we can open the chat, I would suggest, for anybody who wants to share about what you experienced in this workshop. It's always helpful to be able to share. Okay, so let's see. The book, for anybody, I saw that there's a question of where to purchase this. It'll be available at the shop at adultchildren.org once it's delivered, which is sometime in July. And also at Amazon, and there'll also be an ebook available at Amazon.
So we are Adult Child, can you hear me now?
Yes, hi Vida.
Great, thank you. Thank you so much for this this exercise. I have a constant headache, so to speak, really tension headache, and it's been going on for years. And in this exercise, I realized that it's my 4 or 5 year old inner child just trying to figure out this world, just trying to figure out what is going on, because none of the things that I'm seeing is in any way in contact with what I'm feeling. So I'm really confused and trying to figure this stuff out around me. So that was great exercise and great thing to recognize within myself. So
yeah,
I'm going to take care of that little guy.
Aww,
so thank you so much.
Thank you so much. Okay, who would be next is Shannon. Someone's asking if there's plans to create full day workshops of the Loving Parent Guidebook. There's none right now. I have worked 3.5 years on this, so I'm taking a break. But I definitely, somehow there's an echo. I'm definitely, when I come back from my long trip, now I'm going away for almost 5 weeks. I'm hoping that I'll be rested and excited about doing some of this stuff. But the great thing is when the book is out, people are free to do whatever they want and get creative and use the materials. It doesn't have to come from WSO. There's a lot people can do with their own experience and share this. So yeah, we will be helping support in whatever way we can. And don't let that stop you if it's not there. Shannon, did you want to share? Did you have a question or did you want to share something about the guided practice or the workshop?
Guided practice, yes. Definitely very enlightening. I turn on my video too, but I haven't brushed my hair or anything. So, but I'd like to be more personal. Very enlightening. When I did the drawing, I just draw like 3 head and then filling the blank, the first one, my sister, my mom, and my dad. And that just kind of helps me like to see the family dynamic like so clearly this time, of the roles, like how each person affects me, the nature of the dysfunction, and just like makes it so crystal clear this time. I started coming to ACA meetings since June last year, and I've done a lot of work, book study groups, 2 meetings a day, a lot of journaling, and so definitely very helpful to see, you know, like the, I guess, connecting the dots, like just like perfectly. So thank you.
Wonderful. Thank you so much for sharing that. And that's my experience too. Very helpful. Okay. One thing I want to simply say about anger is if you have a chance to attend the workshop tonight that I'm doing on the inner teenager, there's going to be a good section of work on anger and doing that in a loving parent way. So I would encourage you to do that, but there is support in the guidebook for working with all our feelings. David, did you want to say something?
Yeah, I just wanted to point out that we're going to broadcast it to the Traveler and our website and everything else when it's actually available to buy. We look right at the end of July, but if you have an eye or ear open at AACA, we will be letting you know. So I just wanted to point that out. The Traveler and every other place we can, because we're hammered to get this one out. Everybody wants it yesterday. So I just wanted to let you know that. Thank you. And great job, honey.
Thanks, David. Thank you. Also want to tell people that on the schedule, I believe Brad could confirm this or not, but there is a link to get a handout that has a list of reparenting meetings that you can attend to start to practice this so that you don't have to wait until July. Lots of people have been practicing the check-in, which was the inspiration for this book because it just works so well and is so practical, since last May when I was doing the workshops, and it's amazing. It's really transformed a lot of people's ACA recovery program. So just encourage people to do that. The book will be translated. We don't know exactly at what time and what timing, but the reparenting check-ins, as soon as we have our page up and running, we have it available in French, Spanish, Japanese, Hebrew, and Russian. I feel like I'm missing one other one, but 5 languages already. That's very exciting. And to get the list of meetings, go back to the, Brad, can you confirm, is the link, the Dropbox link on the page or?
Yeah, that's right. They just go to acaworldconvention.org.
Okay. And you'll see under the workshop for the Intro to the Loving Parent Guidebook, you'll get that handout there. That's the list of meetings. You can also visit on that page. I give the link to the Loving Parent Guidebook page at acawso.org. Well, we have the materials there too. So anybody have any other questions? Any questions that we can answer? I see Dahlia.
Hi, thank you. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Thank you, Bonnie. You know how much I love this work and great to see more of the team. Thank you all so much. I am just very enthusiastic to get that translated, indeed, the whole book, and seeing how graphic it is, I'm seeing how challenging it will be to put the language, the new language to replace the English. So I was wondering if it will be possible to get the, and that's for Taylor, I guess, the InDesign files to work on them so we can actually incorporate the translation into the existing layout. Thank you.
Thanks, Dahlia. Yeah, Taylor, if you want to address that at all, we don't have all of this stuff planned out, so some of it is a work in progress. But I definitely hear you that it is a different. It's not just in Word, so it is a little bit more complicated. And I think Taylor can speak to that as well as David.
Yeah, the specifically with the InDesign files, I guess it's for the printed book, it's in a fixed format, so it really depends heavily on the way it was written in English currently and how that relates to where the images land and how long the chapters are and stuff. So that would be an additional layer on top of the work that we've done so far. So that's not part of this current issue that we're speaking on, but it would just have to be adjusted to, you know, other formats moving onward, so.
Yeah, we have a translation committee in the subcommittee in literature, and they'll be working with, you know, all of these different countries that want to do this. And like some of our other literature, the check-in list and some of the early which are part of it. But some of those are the easiest, not easiest ones, but more quicker ones to get done and be able to put into use as the rest is being built. Thank you.
Yeah, and it seems like there's a lot of questions around this meetings, finding the loving parent check-in meetings. If you download that file, the links are in there, the codes, the information, but you can also find them by going to adultchildren.org, searching for meetings. That's a little bit more cumbersome, but the document is there. It's not on the website. Okay, who else has, I'd like to see if there's anybody who has a question that can't be answered anywhere but here right now, because we have 5 minutes left. So
there's a question from the lavender room.
Okay.
The ones that couldn't get into this room. How much are you drawing on Tony A's step work for this book?
Well, I think the underlying principle of loving kindness and unconditional love is there. We're not actually focusing a lot on steps in general in this book. But that's always something, if somebody reads it and they think that would be a benefit, then they can offer that as part of the fellowship review by giving those suggestions. So we welcome that. And just to let people know, you know, if you haven't had a chance to get on and share, there are close to 600 people on the call and on the webinar. So it's going to be impossible to reach everyone, but I do want to empathize with that feeling of frustration of not being able to be seen and heard. It's definitely something that my inner child does not like. And then my inner teenager gets angry and wants to lash out. So just to validate that. Any other questions? And there are other people who can answer questions than me, like Kate, who's here, Taylor. Anyone else? Okay, so this question I'm seeing is in the chat. Do we have advice for those just beginning reparenting and relating to the inner child to deal with the perfectionism and the critical parent? So yeah, that again, that's all gonna be covered in depth in the guidebook, but I will say that that was such an essential part of my recovery process and reparenting, was to really recognize when the critical parent is active and to see that as an inner family member, a part of myself, rather than me and the truth. It's almost like when we individuate from our families of origin by recognizing I can have my own thoughts and feelings, I don't have to believe what my family believes. We do the same thing with the critical parent. So it takes awareness to notice either the voice, the feelings. I think one of the people who shared earlier talked about that tension in the head. Now that came from his inner child, but we might be able to recognize the critical parent. Maybe we're clenching the jaw, whatever it is. So to first recognize it is the first step. And then to I usually like to take a deep breath, make space for the loving parent to step in and have a boundary with a critical parent. That might be something like, I know you're trying to protect me and I've got this, or thank you and not right now. Or that's not helpful for the inner child. I need some space right now. So having a boundary, and we go into that quite a bit in the guidebook, is important. And then to nurture, to really, the best you possibly can, let that inner child know, like, I'm so sorry, that was painful to hear and it's not the truth. I'm here now. And you need to develop your own voice as you go, but it's you know, in the beginning, sometimes it's recognizing that critical parent voice or feeling or image many, many times a day. And it's just doing the same thing over and over. And as best you can, not getting too discouraged. It's a process. Okay. So it's almost 11:30. Do we close the room at 11:30, or how does that work?
Actually, our fun crew will take it over, I believe. Right, Liz?
That's right. So we're going to have Adelina and her fun team. do a little gentleness break in between the different workshops. And that's scheduled to go between 10 of and 20 of the hour, or 20 of and 10 of the hour, I believe.
Oh, okay. Okay, great. Well, I'm happy to stay on a few minutes if other people from the team want to stay on to either just answer questions or be here with people. That's great. And just to formally close out, I want to say thank you so much for coming to this workshop and for your interest in reparenting. It's really changed my life, and I hope that it changes yours in ways that you can't even imagine right now. I feel like I go through my day with much less of that feeling of shame and something wrong with me and fear, and much more sense of I'm okay. It's okay to be who and where I am. It's okay to make mistakes. It's okay to not be perfect. And I have things to offer. So do you. And may that all be the case for us more and more. So thank you. And thank you for the team for being here. Taylor, that was wonderful to hear you. Kate, I know you didn't say anything, but it was just great to have your moral support. Kate has been working on this with me for the last 9 months, going over phrases and paragraph level to make sure it's accessible and kind and gentle and clear. So I'm just really grateful for everyone who has helped out on this project. I'm so excited for you all to have it. Thank you.
A monumental piece of work.
It's good stuff.
Bonnie, do you want to take more questions or do you want to take?
I'm happy to.
Okay.
And just very quickly, in 10 minutes, we are going to have our first fun and healing break. So on this room, Zoom 4, we will have Qigong healing meditation with Lori. And then in Zoom 6, we are going to have clowning and fun with Leslie from Canada. So come join us in whichever room speaks to you in 10 minutes.
Thank you.
Thanks, Adelina.
Sounds fun.
Well, I can unmute people, or Brad, you can unmute people if Bonnie wants to call on them.
Absolutely. Bonnie, do you just want me to take someone from the top of the list?
Sure.
Angie T.
Guys, Angie, adult child. This is my first ACA convention. I'm really excited about it. And I see that the workshop is being recorded. Where would I obtain the recordings? Let's say if I was late to this meeting, and I apologize for being late, Bonnie.
Sure.
They want to go back to experience the exercise. How do I obtain those recordings?
Yeah, well, thanks for asking that. That's a good point. You'd be able to go to adultchildren.org, then look on the menu, it says shop. And then when you go to the shop, you'll have the option for audio recordings, or it might even say something like AWC 2021. So you'll see all the workshop recordings, and you can then use that.
Usually takes us at least a month or something to get those ready to put up there.
And the link is in the chat.
Yeah.
Wonderful. Well, thank you so much for your time and your love that you put into this book. And I look forward to obtaining a copy in July. Great. Have a great day.
Thanks, Angie. Thank you so much. Janice, would you like to come on? Are you there, Janice?
Oh, yes, I'm here. Hi.
Hi.
Oh, wow, that's great. I didn't think you were going to call on me. These exercises, it was very revealing to me because yesterday I got really, really triggered. And so in my picture, my inner child, my terrified inner child was at the wheel and the inner critical parent was in the passenger seat, just looming over her. And My teenager is actually outside of the car, kind of sitting on the back of the car, smoking a cigarette, just disengaged. And then I had pictured the loving parent outside of the car, more like a sun shining down on the whole scene. Mm-hmm. But then when we did the little meditation, I panicked because you said someone who's living who loves you, and I got really worried because I couldn't think of anybody that's living that loves me. Mm-hmm. And then I was really relieved when you said it doesn't really even have to be somebody that you know. It could be a animal that you see or anything like that. Anyway, I did wind up coming up with two women in my life. And then we were sitting on the beach together in the sun. I was in the middle, me as my inner child in the middle. And they were saying these things to me. And as they said them to me, me as my inner child went from this ball, shriveling, sobbing ball, kind of just like grew and stood up and started to play and feel joyful. And then I went back to my picture and I realized that my loving parent needs to be a little more, less remote. Mm. And I brought her into the car. And now I see that the sun shining down on the whole picture is more like my higher power. Mm. And so the exercises help me sort of bring in my inner loving parent instead of some benevolent but hands-off sort of idea.
Yes.
So it was really revealing and very helpful for me. And thank you so much.
My pleasure. And thanks for sharing that. I didn't really think about that when I put this presentation together, how the inner family portrait and then the guided practice at the end could feed on each other, but it's beautiful to hear that it has. And I also love, one thing I want to say is sometimes in these guided practices, it can have a part of ourselves that panic like yours and think, oh, I don't have anyone. And then what I found useful for myself is it's okay. I can just have nothing. It's all right. Something might come. And then like you shared, something came. And the thing that we talk about in the guidebook is that the healing is in the relationship between the loving parent and those inner family members. So it is really about a relationship. So I love that you connected to having that be less remote and be more of a connection. That's wonderful. So thank you so much, Janice.
Thank you. Thanks to all of you.
Okay. Natalia.
Hi, Natalia. Am I heard?
Yes.
Oh, great. Thank you so much. I was deeply touched by the materials of the loving parent. It's not the first time. There are some of them are in chapter 8, similar materials. And I wonder, you suggested before that we can form work groups of the loving parent. Mm-hmm. And I would like to know if it's okay, while we are at it, to form it in a special format so we don't read through all the ACA materials like the laundry list and go straight to the loving parent materials or just read one of the laundry list symptoms and not necessarily stick to the usual set before we start. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Thank you. That's a good point. We have a script in Appendix I think maybe Kate can help me if I don't have that right, but Appendix I, it's a sample script for an LPG group. And there is really no reading of anything else. It's introduced with an abbreviated version of the reparenting check-in, which is something mm-hmm. we used to do in my laundry list work group. Basically, we would start every meeting with somebody from the group guiding us in those four steps of the reparenting check-in. So we were all kind of more grounded in our loving parent to begin the meeting, and then not doing all of the regular readings that you would do in a meeting, because it is a different purpose, and we want to allow enough time for there to be intimacy and space to be with it. But that's in there, and that we're also creating a, what are we calling it, LPG group, kind of some tips on having these groups to just support people. So also making sure we're connecting with the parts of ourselves when they get triggered rather than reacting out of them. Those are things we're looking at too. But thank you.
It sounds lovely. Can we have these four guidelines or four tools that you mentioned? Can we have somehow?
The check-in?
Yeah.
Yes, that's actually in the handout. So if you go to the schedule, you'll see a link to get the check-in worksheet and handout. And there's also a recording at the shop of a workshop I did on the check-in.
Oh, thank you so much.
Yeah, you're welcome. Thank you, Natasha.
Thank you. Thank you, Bonnie. Thank you, everybody.
Okay, so I guess it's 11:40, and I want to turn it over to Adelina to begin the fun, or whoever it's going to be.
It's Lori who's in charge of the fun.
Okay, Lori.
Before we shift, Bonnie.
Yes.
I don't know if you have time, but I noticed there's a number of open questions on the Q&A that really are directed more to you in the role of author. If you have a chance to at least glance at them, that might be good.
Sure. Okay, are you guys keeping this open, Charlie, so I could answer things now and then?
Brad might be able to answer that question. I think it'll be open probably at least till noon. Brad is here, he can answer that.
Yes.
Okay, great. Yeah, one of them I just want to answer here very briefly. It's great because we've had an opportunity in the guidebook to create a sheet that contains feelings, needs, and physical sensation vocabulary to help this process be more embodied and grounded in our physical selves. And one of the questions is, are those kind of exercises in the guidebook? We have a body scan in there that's a guided practice, and we definitely point back to the body quite often. So thanks. And I'll respond to questions and enjoy the fun.